to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a running jump.
My patience begins.
I'm here to meet your fate.
He's right.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Good afternoon and evening. This is the What Are You Reading comic show, as the intro says every week that I'm on the air. I'm your host, the man they call the Surfer, and this is a show about comic book related topics. Thanks for listening live for all the zero people in the chat room right now, but who knows, one may show up. And when you do show up, thanks for tuning in and listening. Of course, there are other ways you can listen to the show here, rantemradio.com. You can listen on TuneIn or Stitcher. You can listen on Podbean or iTunes and download. And I'm trying to set up the Amino. So if you're on Amino and you want to listen that way, well, just remind me to do it so I will put it up every week. And so, what's good with the box office this week? We finally, after 6 weeks, have a number one movie. Pacific Rim Uprising is the number one movie for this week. Brought in $28 million on its first week, and it has a budget of $150 million. But when you add in the worldwide totals, it has made $150 million. So, you know, Americans may not care for it too much, but as long as the world supports Pacific Rim, you'll get more. And I kind of enjoyed it. I was entertained by it. Now, I don't know what it opened up in China yet. That's always a country to look forward to as far as box office. But who knows, if it does kill it over in the China and Asia and places like that, yeah, you'll get a number three soon enough. And the movie that was number one for 5 weeks in a row, Black Panther, has dropped down to number two finally. King T'Challa has stepped off his throne, adding another $16 million to its total of $630 million domestic. Where does that rank all-time movies? Well, I'm glad you asked. You know, thanks for asking. It is now the fifth largest movie of all time. It has surpassed Marvel's The Avengers, and it is about $22 million from passing Jurassic World. So can it do that in the next couple weeks? Looks like it. Of course, if it's past Jurassic World, that'll push it up to fourth all time. It is about $30 million from passing Titanic. Now, let's keep an eye on that, see if it'll pass Titanic or not. Now, even though it's a high all time worldwide, you know, it's, let me see. Here we go, worldwide. Of course, it went over the billion mark a long time ago. It is at $1,237,000,000. It is 12th on the all-time list. It is close to catching Beauty and the Beast and maybe Frozen. It is trailing behind Star Wars The Last Jedi that made $1,332,000,000. But one's doing better domestically and the other's doing better overseas. So, and I don't think there's nothing else in the box office. Let me look at the rest of the list. As far as let's see what Tomb Raider is doing. Tomb Raider has dropped down to fifth place with another $10 million to its domestic total of $41 million. As far as animated movies, Sherlock Gnomes came in at fourth place this week with a $10 million haul. It has a $59 million budget. Now, I don't think no one was asking for a Romeo and Juliet sequel. And the worldwide total is only $15 million. So, if you wasn't a fan of the first one and you didn't understand why the second one came out, well, I don't think you have to worry about the third one coming out unless it just sticks around for week after week after week, which I doubt. And probably the last one we're going to talk about, A Wrinkle in Time. Science fiction with a little religious undertones, came in sixth place, brought in $8 million to its domestic total of $73 million. Now, it's underachieving, but I don't think people would look at it that way if Black Panther hadn't come out, you know? And who knows, maybe this movie would have made more if that was the only movie out and it wasn't a Black Panther to rule the box office like it's doing. So, we got some other movies coming out next week. Ready Player One. We got a Rampage coming out soon. All leading up to Avengers Infinity War. And, I might have to sneeze. Speaking of movies, hold on a second. Allergies, people. Okay. So, let's see. That's an old story. This is a new one. So, Tessa Thompson, who was in Creed, Dear White People, and played Valkyrie in Thor Ragnarok. Well, she's going to be teaming up again with Chris Hemsworth for a Men in Black spinoff. Not surprised there, to be honest. Let's see what the story says. That they're doing a Men in Black movie. Because, can't wait around for Will Smith to keep doing it, so. And it is a franchise that if they do it right, you know, people will get into. So Sony's hard at work on a spinoff of the 90s sci-fi comedy film series Men in Black, but now looking for a little more like a reunion for the stars of Thor Ragnarok. It was reported Wednesday that Thor Ragnarok star Tessa Thompson, who plays the hard-drinking Valkyrie, that joined Thor on his quest to save the universe in 2007 Marvel's studio film, is said to be attached to the movie. She'll play the second lead role opposite Chris Hemsworth, Lord of Thunder himself, as reported by THR. Let's see, so the Men in Black reboot will be directed by Straight Outta Compton Friday and the Fate of Fury star F. Gary Gray. Will feature a brand new agent as opposed to the series protagonist J&K. So are we going to get a P&K or something like that? I don't know. Unlike the first three films, which was set in and around New York, the spinoff will be much more global. I have more of a ensemble piece. As a result of the global focus, it will also be reportedly built on the mythology of the previous trilogy. So the spinoff is scheduled release in theaters June 14, 2019. And of course, both will be in Avengers Infinity War. So, and the Avengers 4th movie, which will be out next year, which if the first Avengers movie this year is a hit, and of course everybody will be claiming for more. So, now of course now with the way the box office is, of course it's going to be a more global movie, because when you can put more locales into your movie, then you get to open up bigger in these locales that you're opening these movies in. So yeah, expect them to be somewhere in China or Japan or and somewhere in Europe. You know, maybe in the Middle East, who knows? But let's see if they get it right. Now, this was a story when I posted it on the Facebook page of the What Are You Reading comic book show, but of course now it's old. The Black Panther was only $18 million away from passing The Avengers as the highest grossing film in the U.S., but now we already know it did that, so. Now, last week, the internet went crazy over the Avengers trailer. But this week, Fox said, well, we got a trailer for you, too. And they dropped their latest Deadpool trailer. And, of course, it's Deadpool, so you got a lot of cursing, a lot of violence. And it looks like this one, Cable and Deadpool will be clashing more than teaming up. But who knows? Probably by near the end of the movie, they'll have a reason to team up. And of course, it looks like in the trailer, they are debuting X-Force. Or at least a partial team with X-Force. It is mentioned in the trailer, X-Force, and we know Fox wants to do an X-Force spinoff. Now, whether that happens or not, who knows? Because, you know, once if the deal goes through between Fox and Disney, you know, they may put the kibosh on it. And I think they already seen stuff being put the kibosh on because of that deal. And Ryan Reynolds, who, you know, pushed for a Deadpool movie and made it happen, the first one, and now, of course, is a star. He's getting a writing credit for Deadpool 2. So, he's getting paid more than one way. He says, after bringing to life the landmark 2006 film, actor Ryan Reynolds can now say he's also written for the Merc with a mouse thanks to a newly minted writing credit on the sequel. Reynolds is officially getting a writing credit for Deadpool 2, a sequel to the wildly successful R-rated Marvel comic-based film. That originally was wildly successful, breaking box office records. It had a box office record until this year when Black Panther came out. It was delighting fans and comics. It was written by Reed Reese and Paul Wernick. The film has Ryan Reynolds to the roster of talent. So, now I'm hearing mixed signals about Deadpool, because first I'm hearing that, you know, the test screenings was bombing, and of course they had to do reshoots, and now I'm hearing that it's getting high scores from test screenings, and I don't know what's true and what's not true. I just hope I get a good movie in the end. And of course I'm looking at a picture of Deadpool bent over from his rear end with his face sticking out between his legs. So yeah, good shot. Thanks a lot. Let's see. How many of you are Frank Miller fans? How many of you are Dark Knight fans? How many of you are Carrie Kelly fans? Oh, wait a second. Why, you know, you answer that for me, because I really want to know. Well, Frank Miller is going to write a Carrie Kelly graphic novel with his new deal with DC. And I want to know how many read Dark Knight 3 that was coming out. I tried reading it, and I bought, you know, first few issues, But, you know, with delays and stuff like that, you know, when By the Rest came out, I was like, you know, I got other things I got to pay money for. So maybe I'll try to pick it back up later. But anyway, DC Comics has signed writer Frank Miller to an exclusive 5-project deal, which includes a young adult graphic novel starring the Dark Knight Returns, Kerry Kelly, and artist John Romita Jr.'s Superman Year One for the publisher's new DC Black label, which is also reported to being part of the deal. So I think the Black label is like creator-owned properties. Like, I think Bendis, you know, he has his own creator-owned properties that go with him wherever he goes. I think that's going to be on that label. And it says, we're looking at our business strategy and how the market and our fans have changed. DC co-publisher Dan DiDio told Publishers Weekly, we are developing a new strategy about how we deal with our characters and how we want to get them the widest audience possible. This announcement is a continued effort by DC to reach new audiences outside the direct market with initiatives like DC Black Label, DC Zoom, DC Inc., and DC Superhero Girls, targeted for bookstores. We are becoming a book publisher, DC co-publisher Jim Lee added. We are bringing the new talent with their own audiences to attend readers to attract readers we have never had before. We want to branch out. Yeah, okay. If you don't know about Kerry Kelly, she took up the mantle of Robin in Miller's Dark Knight Returns. It's also in the Dark Knight 3, The Master Race. So, like I said, I don't know who really read that from start to finish. And, who knows? That might be a good book. I know a lot of you don't really like Frank Miller much these days. You know, you find his work to be fantastic back in the day, but now you think he just don't have it anymore. And so, we'll see how it turns out. As always, now everybody's favorite new comedian, Tiffany Haddish. If you saw her on a girl's trip, and she's been into a lot of things lately. Well, now, she's voicing the lead character in the Lego movie sequel. So, let's see what the story says. It says, according to Heat Vision. Oh, that's not clever. Buzzword, the actress Tiffany Haddish. She was, of course, I said, in Girls Trip and The Last OG, which is a new show coming up soon. Will voice a new lead character in the Warner Brothers picture Lego Movie sequel. The eagerly awaited follow-up to the 2014 worldwide sensation, The Lego Movie, Haddish will be next to be seen as a host of the upcoming... she's hosting MTV Movie and TV Awards, which I did not know. Still came on. And going to be in this movie with Kevin Hart, School Night, coming out in September. And, of course, returning for the Lego movie will be Chris Pratt and Elizabeth Banks and Will Arnett, who's Batman. Channing Tatum is Superman and Jonah Hill is Green Lantern. So it looks like they're sticking more to the superhero side of... this in a Lego movie, because in the first one, I think everybody felt that the Batman character was like the standout of that movie. So now they're doing more with Superman and Green Lantern. So we'll see. Now, of course, now that comic book movies and TV shows and properties are expanding and getting bigger than ever, everybody wants their own movie and TV show and property. They can market to the mainstream masses and make money and print money and so on and so forth. And on top of that, everybody wants to have a universe. Of course, everybody wants to have their universe disappear. They don't want to build a universe. They don't want to say, let there be light, and start with, you know, a planet, and then other planets, and then stars, and then solar systems, and then galaxies. And then, when you have enough galaxies, you have a universe. Nobody wants to do that. Everybody just want to build a universe at the you know, hole. But anyway, this story says. It says, Fremantle Media, North America, studio behind the acclaimed American Gods TV series, I thought that was a good TV series, has obtained the rights to Astro City, spanning 16 and counting collected standalone and loosely connected story arcs. Here we go. No, I don't want to do H&R Block. Thank you very much. Let's see. So where was I before H&R Block interrupted? Connecting stories and arcs containing more than 2,000 original characters. The fictional Astro City universe. Where's my glasses? I'm looking at this. I should have my glasses on. Yeah, people. Guess what? I need glasses. And here they go. Strain. Now I'm a bookworm. All right, so now, no more interruptions unless somebody's calling on Skype. Okay, Astro City Universe explores the lives of ordinary people and those of the all-too-human, superhuman in their midst and their collective. Daily struggles to hold on to hope in the face of a world-shaking, life-altering event beyond any single individual's control. A mid-sized American city blessed with the cursed by the largest number of superheroes and supervillains in one place on Earth, Astro City, which is a unique brand of humanistic saga, part superhero epic, part intimate drama, in which the mostly good-hearted, workaday residents of the Ecomonas, I probably said that wrong, people, locale come into a daily contact with the worrisome, the weird, and the wondrous. So, Astro City was created by Kurt Busiek and artists Brent Anderson and Alex Ross. And in the 23 years since its debut in 1995, Image Comics remained a triple threat worldwide sales success. Other critics and fan favorites. The property vastly details story worlds representing the last fully fleshed out superhero universe in the English language. Comic book business that remains unexploited from the screen. So, of course, everybody wants their properties for their universe. Anyway, that's probably the best that they do on a TV show as opposed to a movie. That way you can expand on a lot of different characters and a lot of different storylines. And hopefully they'll have the budget. It'll probably be, I don't know, say what show, what cable channel is going to be on. Sorry. I don't know what channel is going to be on. But well, it'd probably best be on Showtime or someplace like that. That maybe will put me on a budget. Or, you know, maybe straight to Netflix. But without a budget, that show's not going to do much. So, what's next? What is next? All right. I hope everybody's sitting down. Because I got some bad news for you. Stanley's in the chat room. Sorry I have not been paying attention in the chat room, Stanley, but thanks for listening. Wait. I'm off the air already? This kid's back on the air. Okay. Oh, I'm back on the air. I don't know why this happens to me week after week where I'm kicked off the air. So, anyway, hope you're sitting down for this because I got bad news that you probably didn't even realize it was happening. But FX has canceled plans for a Deadpool animated series. Yes, I know. A lot of you even didn't even realize, remember that. I did talk about it, but so after receiving a straight-to-series order last year, FX and Donald Glover have since exited the previously announced Deadpool animated series for Fox. The network released a statement today citing creative differences between FX and the creative team as the reason for cancellation. Due to creative differences, FX, Donald Glover, Stephen Glover and Marvel Television has agreed to part ways on the Marvel Deadpool animated series. So they said in a statement, FX will no longer be involved with the project. FX and Marvel have an ongoing relationship through their partnership with Legion, which will continue. The news come after Glover revealed back in February that he felt the project was not a lot easy for him in the role as Lando and Solo, a Star Wars story, and his series Atlanta at the time. Glover explained that there wasn't too much to, quote, hold sacred, unquote, and that despite the large fan base, he felt there was really nothing he needed to, quote, live up to, unquote. Glover, of course, was set to write a 10-episode series alongside his brother, Stephen Glover. Where's Danny Glover? That's what I want to know. However, should the project find a home elsewhere due to the not unexpected, the duo is not expected to be involved. As of right now, it remains to be seen if Marvel Television opts to shop the project elsewhere or perhaps even save it for Disney's forthcoming streaming service. Now, of course, I was wondering what kind of animated Deadpool series were we going to get? Were we going to get something kid-friendly or something more of a mature adult cartoon? Or maybe some hybrid in the middle? Yeah, I got a story that you shouldn't be surprised with. Because it's a part of the news cycle. It says voice cast announced for the Lego Black Panther Trouble in Wakanda. Yes, see, Black Panther is so big, so powerful. He's getting a Lego movie. So after announcing a Lego Black Panther Trouble in Wakanda back in October, Marvel has finally announced the voice cast for the forthcoming special, which was aired on Disney XD later this summer. Let's see, so who's going to voice it? Voicing T'Challa is James Mattis III, who's on the Marvel's Avengers Assemble, being joined by Keaston John as Killmonger, Daisy Lightfoot as Shuri, Yvette Nicole Brown as Okeo, Trevor Duvall as Claw, and Michael Wingard plays Iron Man, and Travis Willingham as Thor, Roger Craig Smith was playing Captain America. Why can't we just have a Black Panther? Why does all these other heroes have to come in? But okay, as long as it's good and it's funny, it doesn't matter. They're bringing in somebody to voice Doctor Strange, the Hulk, Black Widow, and Thanos too. Even Thanos is getting in on the action for Lego. So And that confused some people. They're going to be like, I just saw Infinity War. What is this? Legos. That's not what happened in Infinity War. You never know. Oh, let's see. What's next? Bebop and Rocksteady hits the road with a new weekly Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series. So the dastardly duo Bebop and Rocksteady are back to wreak havoc in a brand new miniseries. Bebop and Rocksteady hits the road, coming this August to IDW Publishing. The creative team of co-writer Ben Bates and writer-artist Dustin Weaver are returning to the characters after the success of their last miniseries, Bebop and Rocksteady Destroys Everything. Weaver believes Hit the Road is a natural conclusion to what the team did with the characters and Destroy Everything, and promises the story is just as wild as fun. Well, I didn't know there was a Bebop and Rocksteady comic before, so I don't know if I'm going to be reading this one, but if you're fans of the series, hey, if you read it, let me know. That's what this show's about. You can call in and say, hey, I read it. I really recommend it. Well, don't recommend it. Don't let me just come on the air every week and just talk by myself. Because without you, the callers, I'm down to my last few minutes of this show, and you get a shorter show than normal. Now, this will be one that may shock a lot of people. I posted today, and I'm getting responses on Facebook. And let's see. What do I want to say? How do I say this? You know, you think everybody deserves a chance of redemption. You know, people start off as villainous, evil creatures, but they just need a chance to do right and good, and they'll become good. Now, I don't believe that about some characters. I don't believe this about this character. But apparently, Darkseid will soon be a member of the Justice League. Dun, dun, dun. Darkseid is perhaps the most feared and most powerful villain in the entire DC universe. The ruler of Apocalypse has faced the Justice League on numerous occasions, but come July, he'll become one of its members in Justice League Odyssey. From the creative team with Joshua Williamson and artist, Stephen Sedgwick. The announcement was made Saturday at WonderCon. Hope everybody at WonderCon having a good time. During the DC publishing panel, joining Darkseid and Justice League Odyssey were Cyborg, Starfire, Jessica Cruz, and Azrael. He is the Hannibal Lecter, writer Scott Snyder said during the panel, adding that his advocacy for the title to be called Justice League, what the fuck? The cover for Justice League Odyssey shows Darkseid standing behind a remaining roster with a dark orb hovering over his hands. This won't be the first time Justice League works with one of his longtime villains. The four-issue miniseries Justice League No Justice sees Brainiac assembling heroes and villains from across the DC universe to confront an upcoming threat. Oh, man, still, man. We're talking about Darkseid now. He's not doing it for good reasons. He's never doing it for good reasons. But it might be a great story, so I'm going to keep my eye out on that. Now, I did post this to Facebook. Some of the replies I got was somebody posting a flash holding up a Y sign, and then a gift. Somebody posted, what is happening? You got SpongeBob characters breaking their computer. Let's see. Looks as if Goku and Frieza can work together. That's from Dragon Ball. I was about to talk about that in a second. Well, I don't know how people are going to feel about it. Who knows? I mean, people might think it's a dumb idea. But, you know, great stories are great stories. So we'll see. Now, I don't know how many Dragon Ball Super fans there are out there and who's been watching the subtitled version. Well, last night was the finale of Dragon Ball Super. At least for now, there's going to be a Dragon Ball Super movie at the end of the year. And then next year, there could be a returning Dragon Ball series. Whether Super under another name, I saw the title Dragon Ball Ultra. I don't know if that's true or not. So last night was the end of the Tournament of Power. And what this tournament was about, apparently there's more than one universe out there. In the Dragon Ball universe, there are 12 universes. And above all these universes is a ruler called the Omni King. And lately there's been two Omni Kings. They're the same characters from different time points in, along the timeline. And they're childlike, and they also get bored kind of easily. And one of them found out the main hero, Goku, in a tournament. And was like, wow, I like that. I like seeing people beat the shit out of each other. I want to have a tournament too. So, Goku, being a brain-dead idiot that he is in Japan, at least, I never realized he was that dumb in the English version because they did different language. But now, even with the English version of Dragon Ball Super, it's hard to get around the fact that he's not the... He doesn't have a bright bulb. He was insisting on having this tournament because he wanted to see who the strongest people in all the universes were. So, they said, okay, we're going to have this tournament. We're going to have eight of the 12 universes compete. Four of the universes I like, but the rest of y'all ain't doing enough, and I'm ready to wipe y'all out. But if you have this tournament, whoever survives the tournament won't get wiped out. So that made the stakes even higher. You couldn't just go out there and just fight for fun. You really had to fight for true survival. And throughout the arc, one by one, the universes got erased as their fighters got eliminated. Mainly by taking on Goku and his friends from Universe 7, which they are out of the 12 universes. But there was one universe that had this one guy who was supposed to be the strongest of every character in all the universes. His name was Jiren. He could even be stronger than the gods. And as long as he was around, then nobody else was going to win. But, you know, Goku, his thing is surpassing the opponents he fight, which at some point in this tournament he mustered off enough strength and to actually take on this guy, but he couldn't hold the strength, so he almost was out. But in his last episode, it was three against one. It was the main character and these two other characters. One's named Freezer. He's like the villain of the show, where no matter what, he's never going to change. He's died a few times, and he's like, yeah, well, if I help y'all, you're going to resurrect me. And then there was a former villain turned, not really a hero, named Android 17. So it was the three of them, and they just about on their last leg fighting this. One guy is supposed to be stronger than all three of them combined, but he's on his last leg too. And so they all had to work together, which most of the characters in the show, if they would work together from the start, they could beat a lot of their opponents. But instead, they're too busy trying to prove they're the strongest amongst themselves. Instead of saying, hey, you know, the two of us together, if we work together, we can handle this in no time. So finally, Goku worked together with someone other than his son, Gohan. And worked with all people, Frieza, to help defeat this last character standing in this one universe. And so, now it's called Dragon Ball because there's these objects called Dragon Balls. You gather them all up, you can summon a dragon, get any wish you want. Well, in the Super Dragon Ball, they have these planet-sized Dragon Balls, and there's no limit to what you can wish. So, of course, it came down to the last man standing, the character named Android 17, because everybody else got eliminated. So he got the wish. And early on in the series, they was like, what kind of wish would you wish for? And he's like, well, you know, I'd probably wish for a cruise for my family. And they're like, what the fuck is that? You can wish anything you want, and you want a cruise? So somehow he got the point and did the one thing everybody thought was going to happen at the beginning of this tournament announcement, which was use this wish to wish back all the erased universes, which that's what happened. And it turned out if you didn't do that anyway, then the king of all was going to wipe out the rest of the universes anyway, just be pissed about the fact somebody used the greatest wish of all time with something selfish. But now, Dragon Ball's off the air for now until the movie and then maybe sometime next year. And, yeah. Everybody got their happy ending. The villain got resurrected. So, like I said, if you can work together, you can defeat anybody. And that's the secret to Universes 7. Trust and teamwork. Remember that, people. You know, so you also need to remember that this is a network called RantEMRadio.com. And on that network, there are other shows here you can listen to. You come back tomorrow night at 11:15, you get the sports report. Talk about all kinds of sporting events of the week. They'll probably talk about the Final Four coming up and what happened with the Sweet 16 and Elite 8 tournaments that are taking place right now. And who's probably going to win the Final Four. Tuesday night's a doubleheader. You get the Shining Wizards live at 7 p.m. and then the Rant live at 9 p.m. So that's double dose of wrestle talk. And plus, Thursdays is Rant and Wrestling. Says that in the show, wrestling. More wrestling talk. Fridays, you get a Turnbuckle Throwbacks. You get to learn about old wrestling. You get some new wrestling talk, too. And every other once a month on Saturdays, is the Midnight Jury. I believe the show will be coming up in a couple weeks. And in a couple of weeks, of course, there'll be the coverage for the WWE WrestleMania weekend here on RantEMRadio.com. I won't be on the air that weekend, so there'll be another weekend I won't. I mean, I'll be on the air as far as other shows, but this show won't be on the air, unfortunately, unless I did something out of the ordinary, like do a show on a time and day I normally don't do a show, which you can't promise that. So, and so that is it, my friends. Stanley says he's bored with Deadpool. No, you're not. You know you're gonna go see the Deadpool movie. So I ain't. You need to call in. You haven't called in like more than a year now. And you know I'm not gonna dime you out to the authorities if you would just call me on Skype. Because I do miss talking to my friend from time to time. So always remember that. Friendship. And the heart of the cards. Heart of the cards. Alright. For myself and Stanley Cubitt in the chat room. We'll see you next week here on RantEMRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in and listening. I'm out. Peace.